Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. I didn't want to get hit in the head. You like, I ain't through with you with that.
What happened with that, man? We got some new devices. Explain to me. We have some new devices.
You explain. I've been gone the last 2 weeks.
They weren't here last week. We have new devices here in the Kia Studios. First of all, Sam and Greg, Nine Folds up in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Weekend mornings. We are together again. We haven't been together in a couple of weeks, folks.
Yeah.
And so
he made me mad. I moved out.
I was on the air. He was out in every you know weekend. I come on here every Sunday. I would say, you know, have you seen Greg? Don't know where Greg is. And it got so bad that we actually got a call from management last week. Said, Greg, okay? Is Greg all right? I mean, they've forgotten the fact of what Greg was doing for the past two weeks.
Doc's here. Doc's not here. where's Doc?
So he is
here today. I got a text in Cozumel.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. Actually, I got it at Cozumel, but I couldn't check it out until because I had my phone off. I was off the grid, man. You know, let me give you a little tip for those of you who don't know. A little cruising tip. Turn your roaming off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turn your roaming off and turn your put your phone in airplane mode. Unless you buy a certain package.
You're right.
Which from Carnival, if you don't know about it, they do sell those. But if you don't buy that package, turn your roaming off.
Yep.
And put your phone in airplane mode. Otherwise, you're going to get a bill
bigger
than your mortgage.
Incredible. Just incredible. You do not want that to happen.
Do not do that.
Don't make that mistake at all. You don't want to do that. But you come back and we got some bright lights here. I mean, I'm not used to these. I'm like, you know.
We're going to have the ability. Well, actually, you're going to have the ability to watch us do this show soon.
Really?
So that's the beginning stages of it.
Really?
Yeah.
So why do lights have to be so bright?
Because you're going to be on camera. See, that's why I got to get you back on set. This is set etiquette.
Look at this.
They need to brighten us up.
Wow.
By the way, that thing right there.
Thing right where?
Where the camera will be in that light.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't put 10 pounds on you.
Oh man. Okay.
And if there are two people who needed 10 pounds added to them, it's you and me.
Back to spin class. Back on spin class, big time.
Hey, can I tell our audience before we get into the win that everybody expected from the Bulldogs yesterday and the struggles that Georgia Tech had yesterday and as we prepare for game three with the Braves today and other NFL action that you guys, and this is not because I'm in it, which we talked about, but when you get a second, especially when we're in commercial, go to YouTube, the official trailer for Richard Jewell is out.
It is.
When I worked with Mr. Eastwood and everybody this summer, it was just a few months ago.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
It didn't seem like long ago at all.
Universally understood that this was going to come out before the Summer Olympics in 2020. Right? You got that coming out just a few months away, and that would be the perfect time for it to come out. Nope. He's got that thing coming out in December.
That's amazing.
Which that's true. Ken said he doesn't have any. He's a storyteller. He doesn't have any special. No CGI with Clint.
Right.
There might be, but it'll be minuscule if anything.
Right.
But he wants that thing around for award season. But I'm just telling you, this is a movie that, in the minds of a lot of people, this is not just somebody making a movie in Atlanta. This is about an event that took place that a lot of us had. We have a story. Individually, we have a story. I mean, from the dudes in the barbershop who had certain jobs, to people we work at up here who were in media. You were in media, but you were here.
I came to town, but my sister was one of the volunteers, so she was actually in the park when it happened.
Paul Crane says he walked right by where the bomb went off because he was working at CNN at the time.
Yeah.
And he was working at 1:30 in the morning. So he walked by. Everybody's got a story except me. I got none that night. I remember, you know, turned on the TV when it happened, but I wasn't doing anything that was memorable that I had. But anyway, check it out. Richard Jewell, it's on YouTube, and it will take a lot of you back. But It's not just the showing of it. This thing looks like it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be proud to be a part of this.
It's going
to
be really good. It's going to and probably stir a lot of memories from people from that time. Obviously, when you mention it, it stirs a great time because of the time that the Olympics was here. But just how that whole story came to be and the person that's being profiled, what you may have thought about him at the time, maybe what you think about him now, you may even look at him in a different light after you get the chance.
Well,
to
I want to ask you a question, and we'll move on here. As we get closer to the release of this, obviously there's going to be people doing media for this. Can I bring on folks from the theater, from if I can get some people from the movie, but also some of our coworkers who had stories, and the people in Atlanta, Ken and Shaky. I mean, there's people who we work with, who we go and
then we got some that we
go to church with, and barbershop.
And then we got some that we work with. That's kind of like, yeah, I was like. Five.
I showed Big Mike McKenzie and he goes, I got to go read up on the backstory. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, I was only, I think he said he was 9.
Yeah.
So that's all right, you know. But, you know, it's the people who were that age who talked about it in school, who remember, you know, this was a Saturday, so that Monday in school.
You know what? You bring out something interesting. Discussions in school in the area when this movie comes out, because there'll be a lot of teachers who probably remember and students. We'll probably, you know, there'll probably be a lot of discussion, a lot of discussion.
Yeah, Ken brought up the guy who's the star of it, who played, and now when he said that, his name escapes me. But he isn't a star on the level of the other people in the movie. He's not John Hamm. He's not Olivia Wilde. He's not Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Paul Walter Hauser. Thank you, Ken. I think he was in Parks and Recreation. He's on one of those shows, something like that. But listen, this guy looks just stupid close to Richard Jewell and acted like him too. And we had a couple scenes together because I'm one of the reporters who just overruns him trying to get out of his truck. And anyway, we got plenty of time to talk about it. So you guys just go Google it, and again, it'll take you back. But Mr. Crenshaw, you yesterday were part of something, I won't say historic, but it was very, very special. Georgia State getting their first win against Arkansas State and got it good.
First win over Arkansas State, over 700 yards in total offense, and they went homecoming, a big celebration, and everybody really happy over at Georgia State Stadium yesterday. So all the alums that came back, all the former players who were there, they're celebrating 10 years of Georgia State football, guys who were on the very first team, guys who were telling stories about practicing on a field with being stung by yellow jackets and fire ants. Compared to now, this nice turf field stadium with state of the art weight room, high rise, you know, a place for them to live across the street from campus, all kind of wonderful restaurants opening up down that street. From that to what we see now, but it was great to talk to one particular player. I'll give you one particular Pat Bartlett, right guard, big lineman, and the O line played fantastic yesterday. He said to me this week when I talked with him, I said, what do you think about homecoming? He says, some of the guys are going to come back that laid the foundation. We're going to get to see some of the guys who actually started the program. And we know what we heard about them not having their own weight room and having to build their locker room and all those type things. And we got all this nice stuff now. We got all this nice stuff. And so, you know, it was cool to hear one of the current players say, hey, we can't wait to see those guys and meet some of them because they started football at Georgia State. Record now 3-2. And go on the road to Coastal Carolina next weekend.
And what does that matchup look like? I mean, is this a team
Coastal,
they should
Coastal
handle?
Carolina, they should. I think they should beat them. But there are another team from the conference that has a win over school from a Power 5 conference. They beat Kansas and the man in the hat earlier this season. You know, people forget the man in the hat is out of Kansas these days, among other things that are happening in Kansas.
Well, I was
right
going to say, they also, well, okay, for the people who don't know, who's the man in the hat?
Les Miles.
Okay.
Les Miles used to be at LSU. Sat out of coaching for a while, did a little acting, didn't he? I think, you know, he's,
that's what he did every time he was coaching, too.
He did well that, too, but he did a
doesn't
little.
Doesn't necessarily have the chest to do
this. But he's in Kansas. Click your heels three times and see where you end up.
Y'all need to go see the story about how Kansas had to apologize for Snoop's performance.
Oh, man.
We don't want to get into that.
It happens after the basketball team is now being, you know, under a lot of scrutiny from
Bill
the NCAA.
Self.
Yeah. They're turning those guys upside down, inside out. In the middle of all this, here comes Snoop at their version of March, well, not March Madness, Midnight Madness.
Midnight Madness,
to get things started. And Snoop comes out there with some ladies dancing with poles.
Stop by to cheat on his way.
Man.
Magic City.
Come on.
Yeah.
In Lawrence, Kansas?
Well, yeah. Then I would say they need a little magic.
Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
They need a little Magic City in Kansas.
Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
They were called acrobatic dancers.
Acrobatic dancers.
That's what they were called.
That's nice.
We're having
nice.
Fun with them a little bit.
There you go.
Did I get that right? Okay.
Nice time to have those folk with the NCAA in town.
Hey, you know. But, okay, so yesterday was a day of referees to me. Yeah. I mean, you talked about the Tennessee game and the problems they had there. The guy in the Florida-Auburn game running down the sidelines.
Oh, man.
I showed that video to you.
He was flat-out hauling. He was flat-out hauling down the sidelines, stride for stride with the guy that scored the touchdown.
80-yard run, and about the 50-yard line, this ref picked it up. And, I mean, bow-legged and just huffing and puffing. And he was probably something back in 1983.
Oh, probably so, yeah.
He was. Yeah. And he was reliving those days.
Well, that's the appeal we have. And we talked about it a few times when we've had people on that show who are involved with officiating and how there's a need, you know, for referees. And you know what? I wouldn't know why in games on the Power Five conferences, because so much is on the line when those teams play, why you wouldn't bring an extra guy along. And I know the conference said, well, we want to pay a guy just to sit there and watch the game. But when you have
they spend money on all kinds of other knucklehead stuff.
Yeah, because when you have your referee go down, like happened in the Georgia game, you have to have your center judge. I think you end up making him your referee. Well, now you're calling a game shorthanded. You don't have everybody. And so you're throwing a lot of penalty flags just to get reviews to make sure you're getting them right. I mean, there were back-to-back plays where they had targeting calls that they waved off. Because you err on the side of caution, obviously.
Well, that's the rule. How do you feel about that rule? If you think they, you know, led with the crown of their helmet, we're just going to call it.
You're going to call it.
And let everybody decide up in the booth.
Well, you go back and look at it. You know, and that's.
You have a problem with that?
That happened on back-to-back plays.
That's lazy, though, in the minds of a lot of people. And for some plays, I felt, come on, y'all, you can see he's not. There was a play where the guy. The player's head, in fact, it was the second targeting call where he didn't even hit him with his helmet. He used his shoulder,
yep.
And the guy's, it was a clean tackle, but he lunged forward, if you will. I guess that was the reason why. But there was the player's helmet went forward. If he had led with his helmet, you know, the defensive player, that head would have went to the side or back.
Yeah. Well, we had a play like that in the Georgia State game yesterday as well, and it was – after further review, it was the shoulder, not the helmet.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, if that's what it takes to get the call right in that situation. I would say so because a targeting call is an ejection.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's the thing. You don't want one of your key players or one of your starters taken away for that. But that's what we see. So why wouldn't you have someone, in case one of your officials has an injury or becomes ill, that you can have someone that it can step right in, you still have your regular complement of officials to correctly call the game. I don't know why the SEC couldn't do that, but that wasn't the case last night.
No, is why they haven't done it. They can do it. They choose not to.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more important things to spend money on.
I suppose, but I mean, you could have done that because on one play, the Tennessee quarterback gets knocked one way and the backup referee gets trampled in the play. And this guy said, I'm getting run over, and I'm not even the referee.
Getting stomped on the
scoop and score. For UGA, that was pretty incredible.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Listen, we are going to switch and talk some NFL next with a friend of the show. And
yeah.
I haven't talked to this man, and we've texted back and forth.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a chance to speak to him on air
He's already on Twitter saying he can't wait.
I want to find out why you and him couldn't get things worked out while I was gone with this Falcons team. Sam and Greg, D-Led is up next joining us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
If you look back at it, the year we went to the Super Bowl, we didn't have the hottest record. The year my rookie year, when we started 5-0, we didn't make the playoffs. So let's not get too far off track, but we got to be optimistic and knowing that we can change this thing around, and we got to be the first ones to believe it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That, of course, Grady Jarrett, making us all kind of as Alec. It reminds you of what Aaron Rodgers said a few years ago, or spelled out. Relax. Yeah,
relax.
Everybody relax. Just relax. We've been here, done that before. That's easier said than done. Sam and Greg,
really.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, guys, I'm going to introduce them, and I'm going to sit back because I was in a different country these last two Falcons games, so I don't know what to say other than the fact that what happened. Joined, of course, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D-Led, first of all, it was great to talk to you, man. Been a few weeks.
Likewise, Greg. Hope everything's been going well for you, my friend.
Been doing well. And listen, tell me what happened. Even the Colts game, I watched that, and I'm thinking, oh, come on. They couldn't get home with that.
Yeah, it's been a season where they haven't been able to stop the run. They haven't been able to run the ball either. They've fallen behind in the three losses, 65-10, and then had to try to scramble back into the games. It's just been a rough start to the season for the defensive unit. And then offensively, Matt Ryan's thrown 6 interceptions, 3 inside the red zone. So it's made for a really bad football cocktail for the Falcons thus far.
Well, before you get into what happened with the Titans and that matchup, we started this segment hearing from Grady Jarrett, and he was trying to blow some smoke, positive smoke, if you will, about this team. Yeah. My question to you is, given what he said, do you think that what he was alluding to that happened in the past, can this team turn it around like the other ones have?
Well, they certainly have talent, Greg, and he was basically telling everybody to pump the brakes on the doom and gloom, but they haven't given the fans anything to cling on to other than, hey, we're good. We just haven't got to it yet. The offense, hasn't been able to sustain drives. They've been able to, take away Ridley from them. The running game hasn't been able to go. Defensively, they haven't been able to stop the run or get after the passer. But they believe they have the talent to do so. Certainly we knew this was a tough start to the season, and that's played out thus far. But if they don't get it together here quickly, you could be looking at 1-4.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC and AJC.com. Always great to speak with him. D. Led, talk about the offensive line, because you talked about some of the things that have gone wrong with this team. The other thing that has gone wrong is Matt Ryan has gotten sacked so many times already this season. I thought about that O-line and what we see from them today.
Yeah, Sam, they're taking on injuries again, which was an issue last year, and they're running through their depth, here early in the season. Chris Lindstrom's out for the year. Alec Mack gets hurt. And then Jamin Brown's in the concussion protocol. So you're going to start the third string guard today, and that's Wes Schweitzer, who also had to come in and play some center against the Titans last week. So Caleb McGarry's out there. You had to finish one game with Ty Sambrello when Schweitzer had to move over to guard. And then Jake Matthews and James Carpenter on the other side, and they're playing good but not great. So it's been a difficult time for the Falcons. When they get behind, they got to throw, and teams are going after them. So you can't run it. So the slow starts have been a really, really big problem for the Falcons.
Also about this team also, and maybe we go to the tight end a little bit more just to do some things and move the chains. Since you're talking about taking away Ridley, the run game has not been stabilized where we want to. Just something that gives this team a better opportunity. Maybe that happens today, although you're going up against a team in Houston with a superior group of linebackers.
Yeah, no doubt. And Austin Hooper has been, the one that has gotten a lot of the catches. And they've been leaning heavily on him because they've been leaving the middle of the field open. It's been more or less, let's take away Julio and really deep, but hey, you can have the middle of the field all day. And so Hooper had 2 touchdowns last week. His stats are up. He's on pace for an incredible season because he's a guy that's open and that Matt's going to move the ball to. So they got to keep doing that and then figure out how they're going to get Ridley and Julio all open by moving them around and, being patient and taking what the defense gives them and, stacking those plays without getting the penalty, Sam. But, tight end is definitely a big key here for the Falcons moving forward.
You guys have been talking about some key positions and you're talking about the every down players, but
right.
I want to focus for a second on Matt Bosher, because that is something that is key. We talk about field position, and that's not something to be sneezed at. Tell us what they should know about this Matt Weil, second year out of Michigan.
Yeah, Matt came in, he kicked in the Colts game. He's been around, he kicked in 7-16, I believe, for the Falcons. Been trying to make it in the league. Did a good job up in Minnesota all of last season. Thought he had the teammate up there. He's a big kid, bigger punter from Michigan. His leg is really good. He's He had 5 touchbacks in the Colts game, so he can also kick it off. Yeah, just unfortunate for Boster, who, you know, had the groin injury, missed one game, came back, and then got injured at the end of practice on Friday. So, yeah, Matt Wild should be just fine here at indoors, directional punting, and taking place for Boster.
Listen, you know, and when I think about this Houston matchup today, especially those guys being at home, I didn't see the game last week, but from everybody I talked to before I left, my problem with this Falcons offense was Matt Ryan in the pocket. And pocket presence, or, you know, get rid of the ball quicker, that was my issue. And I think about this game, J.J. Watt and those boys are coming off that loss with the Panthers, and they got a chip on their shoulder.
Yep.
And I'm wondering what you know, when you look at what they're going to go up against today, D-Led, what's the one thing we should focus on and hope doesn't happen coming out of this Houston organization?
Well, it's real easy there. J.J. Watt against Caleb McGarry, the rookie right tackle, be getting you know, first taste of elite defensive end like J.J. Watt. Fully expect the Falcons to give him some help in the form of a tight end and a back. And then on the other side, Whitney Marcellus is having a great season, 5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 1 interception return. The outside linebacker who will be, you know, over there with Jake Matthews on that side of the ball. So the edges will be very important for the Falcons today.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com outline with Dear Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. Always talking Falcons with us. In the division, a game we're watching today, Tampa Bay and the Saints are playing today. What do you expect from this game? Saints have been able to tread water pretty well without Drew Brees. And which Jameis Winston do we see today?
Yeah, you know, Jameis, you know, it was still the same Jameis last week. He put up 50-40 through a pick 6, so that's the same guy you expect to see every week now. But Teddy's doing a great job managing down there, and I think he's capable of doing more than that, you know, as we move forward into the season to shake off the, you know, 2 or 3 years' rust of him not playing on a regular basis. But Arians and, you know, Arians and his crew down in Tampa found a formula for Jameis to, you know, get it to Mike Evans and Godwin and push it up the field, and they're going to do it. And he certainly showed that he can handle a lot of that. But if he can just eliminate the miscues here and there along the way, that would help Tampa Bay. But, you know, it's 5 years in. He's probably not going to eliminate them.
Tell you what, though, Tampa Bay's in everybody's back. We made fun of them coming into the season because everybody's speculating on Cam coming back, so Carolina was going to be there. We knew what was going on in New Orleans, and we thought that the Falcons were going to turn things around and be that team that made it to the Super Bowl a few years ago, and everybody was dismissing Tampa Bay. Next thing you know, as we sit here in, week 5?
Yeah.
You know, you can't say nothing about Jameis. Anyway, getting back D-Led, though, when you look at this, the defensive side of the ball this year, with Dan Quinn taking over defensive coordinator duties, are we seeing something? Is it in work? Is it a work in progress or what? Because I thought I was going to see a lot more dominance this year coming out that defensive side of the ball.
Well, they retooled a lot to account for these mobile quarterbacks. And at least in Minnesota, they didn't set the contain edge, so that was on the end when they got a funnel run back inside. Against the Colts, you know, that was just Marlon Mack and some power runs. Against the Titans, they bit on the play-action fakes, and then Derrick Henry was able to run late and get to 100. It's been different stuff. I think the, doing something new the first 4 games, they haven't been in good down and distance situations. So, yeah, I think it's a work in progress over there. But, you know, all his teams have started slow, except for that first one that went 5-0 that Grady talked about. So I wasn't really expecting too much early, but now it's time for the light switch to come on and for them to start playing some, put together a whole NFL game. Because, you know, they don't practice in the exhibition season, and then when the season starts, you want them to play a full game, and, that's just not realistic. So, but after 4, we should be able to see exactly who the Falcons are here today with their backs against the wall, 1-3 against a fine Houston Texans team down in NRG Stadium.
Yeah, spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline once again with Dear Orlando Ledbetter. And he is social. You want to follow him? He's at DOrlandoAJC, DOrlandoAJC. D-Lab, before we let you go here, keys to a win today. What do you want to see early in the game to let you know that this Falcons team is off to a good start and on their way to a win?
They got to crease this 3-4 defense of Romeo Crennel's and run the football. You know, dropping back 40 times a game is not their winning formula. You know, keeping their defense fresh and off the field to run the ball, to get the linebackers to come up so then they can hit them with the play action fake. The running game will be absolutely vital to any victory that the Falcons might post here, down here today against the Texans.
And I want to see them. Two words that we heard in preseason about this defense: fast and violent.
Yeah.
Those are the words. Waiting to see them. And I hope D-Lay said, this is the time, right?
It is.
All right, man.
This is the time. The time is now.
All right, D-Lay.
I want to put that on a T-shirt.
Or a bumper sticker and make some money. Enjoy the game today, man. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Greg and Sam, take care. Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right.
D-Orlando Ledbetter. Yeah, he sent me a text while I was gone. Every time it seems like he sees that Sprite commercial, he goes, "Hey, Greg, I just saw you on the commercial there." I didn't think of it all that. Hey, let's talk some more NFL action about the games coming up today,
okay,
and what you can hear under the intercom umbrella as far as other matchups. You like that?
Yeah.
That was good.
I like that.
I'm getting my
umbrella. That's nice. All right.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Umbrella.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Wait for it. How can I tie that into the sports world?
Okay.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm waiting on this. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This song by Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
I was sitting back watching Michigan football yesterday.
Yeah.
And out with my beautiful wife.
Yes.
She reminded me of Mel Farr, Rookie of the Year, Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Detroit businessman, had a number of commercials out. Mm-hmm. Weren't many bigger stars than Mel Farr,
yeah,
in Detroit in, yeah, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Farr was backup singer on that song.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing that he got a credit for that.
So that's why I brought it up. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
That's big.
Mel Farr from the Detroit Lions was backup singer because Marvin Gaye wasn't Marvin Gaye then.
Yeah, yeah.
He was getting there, but he wasn't Marvin Gaye.
But just the idea that you're in Motown around all these people that are, when you think about Detroit, I think about people that can sing.
Yeah.
You got somebody back there washing dishes in the back of the club. They can just sing the paint off the wall.
Oh, listen.
And I'm just saying, for him to be invited to do that.
He was a bigger star.
You know,
that's the story.
Yeah,
that's the story that Mel Farr was bigger than the Motown stars at that time.
When I think of Detroit, I just think of people that can sing. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what you're singing. It can be R&B, soul, rock, gospel, whatever.
You putting Kid Rock in there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We don't sing. Does he?
Well, he's from Detroit.
He got to sing kind of rap. I'm thinking rock. I'm thinking like Seeger.
Okay.
I'm thinking like Seeger.
Nugent?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, people.
Glenn Frey?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like I said, it doesn't matter what. You got folks that, like I say, they can sing the paint off the wall, man. And for him to be included.
I'm trying to think of the bigger, of the Detroit sports stars. Giving Gates Brown a call.
Gates. Gates didn't sing, did he?
No, I'm just saying, though. Oh. He was, you know, that's her favorite. But, you know, the old Tigers, Al Kaline. Al Kaline hanging out with the Temptations. There's a picture.
I don't know how much of that you saw, but.
Listen, we've been talking football, and we're going to finish up with that, just going around the NFL. But you wanted to remind folks, there's some racing going on today.
There is. They're making left turns up at Dover, Delaware, up the Monster Mile. This is the first race of the round of 12. For the Cup playoff, and right now Denny Hamlin is on the pole for that. Kyle Busch leads your standings, and you got Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Hamlin is third, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, and Chase Elliott, our very own Chase Elliott, is sixth in the playoff points chases. They race there today.
Now, of course, after us, we got,
and they got Talladega next week. So next week, about Wednesday or Thursday, just stand out on I-20 and watch for the big transporter trucks to come hauling back, because they'll all be coming down from the race shops in Charlotte, and you'll be able to see them.
I got stuck on I-20 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Missed my Good Day Atlanta thing.
Yeah.
Because there was a big crash up there, but I was just sitting on I-20.
Oof.
Just sitting there.
Yikes.
going no place.
Yeah.
Now you made me forget about what I was going to ask.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. If you're traveling next weekend, just know that that's happening in Talladega. If you're going between here and Birmingham, and schedule your drive accordingly. Because at race time, you get nowhere once you cross the Alabama line. It just kind of stops.
Yeah.
You know, so you just remember that.
We need them weekend. Alabama folks back here, because they still ain't fixed 10th Street.
Yep.
They got their money fixed 14th Street.
Well, chances are they'll be back. We got the SEC championship game, and then we got the college football playoff. You know, there's a chance.
Right.
You know, chance we get them back here a couple of times.
Want to remind you, we've been talking about NFL action. Of course, Falcons and Texans pregame at 11 o'clock. Kickoff at 1. Of course, I was going to say a minute ago, following us, Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We got Andy and Hugh Douglas.
Andy and Hugh.
Hugh was out there already.
He is here.
He looks like he's ready to hit. You know, we should say this. Because I don't know if he actually knows he has that gait about him.
Yeah.
But when I see Hugh.
That's what he did.
I know, but on Sundays it's even more pronounced.
Yeah.
Like, Hugh walks in here looking like he ready to hit somebody.
Yep, that's the...
Don't he? He just got a thing about him. His shoulders are up and kind of hunched forward there.
Yeah, he's ready, man.
We love him to pieces.
It's game day, man.
But
he's
don't
awesome.
Cross Hugh on Sunday. He'll have one of those, like, Dan Marino flashbacks. Like, oh, I got him.
That's happening. And after that, 11 o'clock, we got the pregame show. That's with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas.
But just to remind you, again, 11 o'clock pregame is Falcons and Texans kickoff at 1, followed by
the Colts.
And
that's with Wes and Dave, man.
Yes, of course.
Wes,
he was just talking with
Wes
Dave,
and
right?
Dave Archer, he was just on my Facebook Live there for a minute there. So he's up probably having a little room service breakfast or something.
Shout out to Dave. Colts and Chiefs. Pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. But between then, you want to see what Atlanta United does. They're taking on the New England Revolution.
Yeah.
And that game could be heard on Star 94, our cousin station. Pregame at 3:30, kickoff at 4. Last regular game of the season.
Yeah.
Kent, remind us.
Yeah, it is. It is that. And like I said, we have Joseph Martinez back in action today. That's what we want to see. And the thing of it is, this team has missed so many games. We talk about injuries. So many of the players, they've had so few opportunities to put everybody together, didn't have the full complement of talent healthy and on the field. And I'm sure when Frank DeBoer decided to be the manager, he didn't think he would have to deal with that. But that's something this club has had to deal with, along with getting adjusted to him to start the season off. Remember how that all went.
Well, you know, and it's funny you say that too, because I want you to say something that you brought up earlier in the show. It was something that we thought about, but you said it out loud, and you talk about Joseph Martinez, but this city – across the board in his professional sports, has something they haven't had in a long time, and that's that it player.
We've gone decades here without having one on any of our pro teams. And right now we have an it factor guy on each and every of our professional teams.
Meaning
somebody that moves the needle, somebody that guys on the road, out of town, people will buy tickets to come to see.
Reach in their pocket and spend money to see that.
And
dude,
he is that for Atlanta United. Obviously Julio Jones is that for the Falcons. Alex Acuna, definitely that for the Braves. Ronald Acuña. And then, of course, Trey Young.
Right.
Looks like he's going to be that for our Hawks. So we have those guys, generational-type players. And we always are the ones that have to go in our back pocket to pay to see those guys on other teams. It's nice to have not just one, but one on each of our Major League teams here in Atlanta.
Before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Show, I'm going to tell you about an opportunity for those of you out there that want to do some extra work, but you're going to be a part of something that's very special, being done by Jordan Peele.
Okay.
That's coming up next in Casting Call. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.